cause I'm in too deep, and I'm trying to keep, but my head, instead of going under, cause I'm in too deep, and I'm trying to keep, but my head, instead of going under, instead of going under.
Hello everyone, I'm Damiano, and yeah. I'm a journalist, and I play games, and with me, there's...
I'm Jesse, and I'm a journalist, and I also play games.
Yeah, we play a lot of games, every week, and so we decided, let's do a podcast where we talk about what we played, what we think, and what else?
Video games?
Yeah? That's it?
People?
That's all we talk about? Video games? I mean, we gotta find something else to complain about. Come on.
Oh, well, we can find a lot to complain about.
So this is going to be a two-part show where, one, you know, first we talk with each other and then we have a guest. But who's our guest this time? No one. Jesse, what happened?
I didn't book a guest.
Fuck.
I'm sorry.
Wait, let me call my mom. Maybe she will be...
What was the last game she played?
Maybe something on The Sims. She is big into The Sims.
Oh.
Yeah, she wants me to install The Sims 4, but her computer sucks, so that's not going to happen. But don't tell her. Oh. Don't tell her.
Oh. Naughty, naughty son.
Yeah, don't ruin her hope of one day playing The Sims 4 with her 5-year-old computer.
As Damiano said, we every week we'll be doing a pre-show. We're going to get on some guests to talk about what they do, how they work with video games, and how you can too, maybe get into video games if you're interested in that. But you probably are because you're on a video games podcast.
Yeah, I mean, at least we hope so. I mean, it could happen by accident that, you know, you stumble into a video game podcast and you scream in terror as you walk away. But yeah, I mean, we hope that you will have fun as we will have fun and our guests will have fun and they will not realize that they're made... a very, you know, wrong choice in joining a podcast. But yeah, what have you played this week? Out with it. The people want to know.
I have been playing Hades, and I have got some opinions on Hades.
You've got some opinions on Hades, but you're almost as slowpoke as I am. Because, I mean, Hades did come out, what is it, now 10 months ago? Something like that?
Yeah, this is the curse of writing about video games for a living. Which is, you have to write about what you're told to write about, and what you want to write about is not necessarily what you do write about.
Yeah, preach, brother, preach. So, what are your big opinions on Hades?
Okay, so, I really don't like it.
Okay.
Now, let me clarify.
That's the end of our podcast, thank you everyone.
Everyone's gone. No, I like it. But what happened, right? I'm about, I don't know, 15 hours in. I've been getting further and further through out of Hades. You know, your objective is to escape Hades and go up to the surface. And I've been playing on the Xbox Series X. And it has this feature called Quick Resume, which keeps a lot of your games suspended and then you can jump between them. Well, Hades saves when you enter a room or when you die and go back to Hades. And I got really, really far, spent like an hour doing one run, almost got to right to the end, and then I had to go and do something. So I did what I always do. I just powered off my Xbox, expecting to just come pick it right back up, and I came back, and it had restarted and lost all my progress. So I just gave up on Hades.
I mean, wait, all your progress? As in, deleted your save game?
No, just for that run. But I'm not a big fan of roguelites or roguelikes in general.
Oh, that's a shame. Oh, come on! It's just a run, so it's no big deal. What is it? Just 45 minutes of play?
No, I got bored. I got bored. I get bored.
That's
easy.
A shame. No, I mean, I liked Hades. There were some aspects of it that I really liked. I mean, I'm kind of a sucker for roguelites, but I'm also, you know, very hard to please. So, yeah, I mean, Hades, I think, scratched the right itches for me. I like the art. The character design was great. And I like the overall idea of, you know, really needing to play it again and again to see, let's say, the real ending. But yeah, it's not really the real ending. It's the ending and that's it. But yeah, I mean, but I can understand why some people would be turned off by this exact idea of having to play it again and again and again.
The thing is, I prefer narrative games. I like very linear. I like the kind of games that came out in the PS2 era that were just like, you play them, you play the story, you get some cutscenes, and it's just kind of on rails. We've kind of morphed into this open world landscape where everything takes 5,000 hours to do, but it's all really boring cookie cutter stuff. And I think with Hades, there's too much repetition. Like with roguelites in general, there's too much. And I do like Hades. It's a good game, but I think people hyped it too much, maybe.
Hmm. Yeah, that could be. I mean, that is probably why I always try to steer clear of reviews and stuff and people hyping a game. But I've always been, on the fence a bit about Supermassive Games is the name of the software house, right? I remember it right, correctly?
Yes.
Supermassive, yes. I mean, they've really stuck to the whole idea of, you know, making almost the same game over and over. That's what they did with Transistor and the first game, which I don't remember the name on right now.
Was it Bastion?
Yeah, thank you. Bastion, and I mean, I liked Bastion fine, but wasn't really my cup of tea. I mean, it was this real big gap between narrative and gameplay that I didn't really like. Transistor was a bit better, but still there was something that put me off, and I didn't even finish it. Well, I finished Bastion, even though I barely remember doing it. But I think their best game still, that no one, I mean, okay, that it isn't that no one played it, but I mean, it's the really the less known game right now, is Pyre. Pyre is great. And Pyre is basically almost like a sports game. If we have any very old farts in the audience right now, it's a bit like Speedball. It's like Speedball with a big narrative element, in that there's a very huge narrative element between the games that you play with your team. And yeah, but yeah, Pyre is great. I liked it a lot. I mean, I wish I could go back into it, but now I've forgotten how to play because it's been a while. So,
well, for all this roguelite talk and for me telling you how much I don't like them, I've also been playing another one.
Then you're a masochist. Come on, you like to torture yourself.
Yep.
Which is?
I have been playing Returnal.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that, actually. I mean, I know it, but I haven't played it.
Okay, so you haven't seen much of this?
Nope.
Right. So, you're an astronaut who crash lands on an alien world, and you basically relive the crash over and over again. So you crash the spaceship. You don't really know what's going on. There's the difference with this to Hades and a lot of roguelites, and the reason I like it is there's a lot of story. You find logs of yourself and your corpse. You find your corpse from, you know, that's died before, like going on these cycles over and over again, and you leave these audio logs to yourself, and it's kind of like there's a Metroidvania aspect in that you pick up items that kind of let you unlock areas that you couldn't reach before. And so you battle through, and your objective is to somehow like break this cycle, get off the planet. But it's also very strange and kind of surreal. And there's a part where your house, there's no spoilers here, but your house is, this is in the trailer, like appears on this alien world, and you go in your house from Earth. Well, I assume to be Earth because I'm still playing it. And there's like it suddenly becomes like PT, you know, the Kojima demo for Silent Hills and that. You know, you go into first person and you go through, and you're kind of discovering all of this stuff about your past. But the really interesting thing about it is it has different like biomes, and which you know, each biome has a boss. It's kind of your typical roguelike fare, but the more you explore, so you start off with like a pistol and you're shooting some aliens, and the more items you pick up, like when you pick up a scan an item that you've never used before, it then unlocks it for future runs. It can appear. So as you're going through, you're like scanning these items, and then, you know, you'll die, and then your next run it'll suddenly appear as loot dropped from something, or so your objective is kind of to unlock everything. And then, like with the guns, they evolve new things. So like your pistol, you might pick up a pistol that has a homing missile as a secondary, but it's locked. But the more you use the pistol, you unlock that secondary fire function, and then that fire function can appear on all the weapons you pick up. So it's kind of, it incentivizes you to go use different weapons and unlock everything, because you might get some really powerful combinations. And I just thought it's really genius. It kind of fits with the story, but we can't really go into that. Very, very good game. Probably one of the best PS5 games I've played.
Okay. Well, there's not much competition, is there?
No. That's for another time. Well, you know.
Yeah, you're the rich PS5 owner. I still don't have a PS5. So, so Jesse's going to do all the talk about PS5 from now until the very next few months.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on this. Are you interested in picking up any next-gen consoles? Or what is your kind of philosophy on that?
I'm actually interested in picking up the previous generations. I mean, I'm on the hunt for a PS3. Then I'm going to... No, I'm just kidding. No, my idea is that I'm never really in a rush to join the next gen. I've never really bought a day one console.
Really?
Maybe the Wii? Kind of day one?
No, you can't say that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just yeah, just did a very bad thing in public. But yeah, well, it was a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, I'm not really what you would call an early adopter, so I'm going to things kind of late. I mean, even the Switch, I got in like a year after it came out, maybe. And the PS4, I think 2 years after it came out. Yeah, I think so. Yes. So yeah, I like to wait, so I don't really care about joining the next generation.
You don't get like fear of missing out. You don't feel the excitement to get there. Did you even try and pre-order a PS5 or?
Not at all. I mean, my first thought is that I don't care about the graphics.
Whoa.
That's coming out. Yes, I just came out, Mom. But yeah, I mean, I don't care. One thing that I always say to myself is that once we reached photorealism, that we got like, you know, 125 FPS with photorealistic graphics at 8K, what is next? What is is there something else to do? That's it. I mean, that you can top that. I mean, you can make it more beautiful, but so I don't care about photorealism, really. I like, you know, artistic graphics. So artistic graphics can be done even on a lesser console or a lesser system. So
true. Have you tried VR at all?
Actually, no, but that's actually kind of something that I've been holding off a bit, but I'm interested. I have to try it someday.
I have a Quest 2.
Okay.
I
told you, you're the rich one.
Yeah, I am the rich one. No, not really. The thing I wasn't expecting, I mean, the VR is really interesting, and I play a lot of Beat Saber because it is a really good workout, actually. Like, that isn't even a joke. I know it's kind of a meme at this point, but if you play Beat Saber on hard and you play it for like an hour, it's, you like going for a run. It's crazy. But it's, like, you know, I've reviewed VR games like Sniper Elite. Four? The Sniper Elite VR, that's the one that came out. And it's like, I give it a 6 out of 10. It's boring. VR, a lot of times, is very gimmicky. And it's not because of VR. It's just because the developers are like, oh, send that at someone's face and it'll be funny. And it's really not. The most interesting VR games are the ones that you could do in real life, like fishing, you know, all of those kind of manual games are the most fun because you can do it without leaving your house. Maybe you don't live near wherever, you know, you want to go. And but one thing they don't prepare you for is how exhausting VR is. You cannot, you can't just stand there for hours. Like, I played The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, and I think after about an hour, I'm done for the day. I'm like, no, I can't play. I don't want to play anymore. I'm actually exhausted. You don't really think about when you're playing a game on like the PlayStation 5, you're just sitting there for like 4 hours. You don't think like, and you think this is a great game. I want to do that. And you don't realize until you try VR, if you were to be in a video game world, man, you'd be exhausted every day.
But do you still have the box for the Quest 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you look on the box, there's a, you know, a picture of a very fit guy, and there's written, you need to be at least this fit to ride.
Oh, I made a mistake.
Haha. So, but yeah, I'm interested in VR. So yeah, someday I will try it. But yeah, I mean, it comes with the whole being careful of new technology that defines me. So I'm the gaming historian here. So I mean, I'm the one that's fixated on the past. So it doesn't comes with the job. But speaking about roguelites, there's something I've been playing lately. I mean, I've been playing it 2 months ago. Then I took a little pause because I was waiting for the next content drop, and it's Rogue Legacy 2. Yeah, Rogue Legacy. I mean, the original was kind of almost like a mobile title. Very simple 2D, idea that you would, you know, action platformer, you go around, you know, and defeat enemies and try to make your way in the map, try to survive as long as possible. Then you die and you get your children that will continue your legacy. So basically the children, you know, the new characters get some things from the previous their parents, let's say. So they continue your legacy, and so you get to try again. And of course you can, I mean, if you are locked, if you're leveled up, if you have enough money, you can unlock new things, new weapons, new classes. Yeah, basically Rogue Legacy 2 is, you know, the more the better. Yeah, no, it wasn't really the more the better, but it's basically, you know, an upgrade all over. But it's still in early access, and it's been in early access for a year at this point. But yeah, they got, I think, the last big content drop happened like 2 days ago, yesterday, I mean, very recently. Yeah, but there's a lot of new stuff to try, and there's a lot of classes, even, you know, really weird stuff like the chef or the ninja, or, yeah, I mean, the really weird stuff. It's, yeah, very humoristic as a kind of, as a tone overall. Yeah, it's fine, it's okay. I mean, it's fun. I wouldn't know if 2 is better than 1, but yeah. It's a good game. Basically, I probably think you will like it more than Hades at this point.
Interesting.
Because it's very simple. It keeps things very, very basic.
Are you trying to insinuate that I'm a simple man? I see.
Yeah. Well, yes. A simple man with simple tastes. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so tell me what else you've been playing.
Recently, just today, actually, I've reviewed so this kind of, let's say, enhanced visual novel, which is Opus Star Song. And apparently Opus is a series, which I had no idea about. It's 3 titles at this point. And yeah, it's basically, it's all a really big connected universe of this kind of post-apocalyptic space civilization. And I mean, it's heavy on the, of course, on the visual novel. So you get some simple choices in the dialogues that, you know, steer the story. And but yeah, you got a bit of exploration in space. Like you can decide, you know, which planet to explore, which, you know, location to see. And you got, of course, resources like fuel and stuff that you got to look after. It's interesting. I mean, I'm not really crazy on the character design, because at times it feels like watching a low budget anime. But I mean, yeah, it's all right. I mean, it has very, very good reviews all around. I mean, it's got their fans for sure, but I can't say I'm a fan, but yeah, it was all right. I mean, at least not the usual visual novel, you know, with the boring wall of text. And then I've been playing, even though I'm not sure playing is the right word here, Dagon. Are you an H.P. Lovecraft fan, Jesse?
I am familiar with his work. I've played, like, the Call of Cthulhu games, and, yeah, but you would probably be better off explaining this to me as well.
Well, basically, Dagon is, if I'm not mistaken here, is the first story where Lovecraft introduced the idea of the mythos of Cthulhu, that he then, you know, explored in later stories and in the, again, Call of Cthulhu story. It's a simple story. I've read it kind of recently. It's basically this story of, yeah, spoiler alert, you know, oh my God. It's a simple story of this guy that gets captured on a ship by the Germans, I think. Okay, that doesn't matter who captures him. Because he manages to get free, steal a boat, and of course he's lost in the ocean. And then he wakes up and, you know, he finds himself in this kind of weird alternate universe place where all the water has dried out and it's all this black tar and mud. And he explores this place until he finds some kind of an abyss with this kind of monolith at the bottom. And he reads this hieroglyphics of this whole civilization of fishmen, of huge fishmen that got extinct.
Huge fishmen.
And he says, of course, oh, they got extinct. I wonder what age this dates back to. And of course, after like 5 minutes, Dagon comes out of the lake and he looks at the monolith and goes, ha! And he gets really scared and traumatized, and he kills himself like 3 minutes later. I mean, 3 minutes later in the game, not in the novel. I mean, my problem here is this. That Lovecraft, you know, the whole idea of the cosmic horror, I think needs something a bit more fleshed out than just, you know, a big 3D polygonal model of, you know, a fishman going, rock! Because, I mean, as gamers, we've grown so accustomed to, you know, huge, disgusting enemies that we have to fight that, I mean, my first reaction on seeing Dagon in this, I mean, Dagon is a visual novel. The video game is basically a, you know, barely interactive fiction, basically. But yeah, I mean, my first thought was, oh, where's my sword? I gotta kill this bastard. Which doesn't really go along with the idea of, you know, Lovecraft, because your character is supposed to be scared and traumatized and growing, you know, white hair and be, oh God, I'm losing my mind. But you're just going, let me kill this motherfucker. So
you think we've become too desensitized to everything in video games?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like basically Dagon looks like an average Dark Souls enemy at this point. Or maybe a boss because he's so huge, but yeah. Who gets scared? No one gets scared at this point. So I think you'll be better off, if we want to do Lovecraft right now in video game form, don't show anything. Use sound, use, you know, distorted imagery, but don't show something that clear, like, you know, a polygonal model of a fish monster. Don't do that. Because that I think that doesn't work. I'm sorry, that doesn't work. It's too much monster-like boss thing in a game. So I don't think. I mean, it worked for Lovecraft because he's writing and you have to imagine everything. And he describes it, but yeah, you know, still.
You know what? That
just a novel.
This brings me to something. You've just reminded me. I have been reviewing a game called Chasing Static for
Chasing Static.
Yes, for Guidefall, and. I can say this. I mean, it's under embargo right now, but by the time this episode goes up, it won't be. So I can say it. It's a PS1 style. It's made by Nathan Hamley, who made Guard Duty. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's PS1 low poly style. Like, he's deliberately cut the resolution down, cut the polygons down, and it's a first person horror game. It's billed as a kind of psychological sci-fi type horror. And you're in rural Wales, which is the most horrific place I've ever been. So, and you know, it's night time, and basically, as the name suggests, you have like this little device that you listen to, kind of like from a spy movie, you know, where they're listening in the headphones, like, ah, that guy just said he's a Russian spy. You chase static, basically. You know, you hear and you have to go find out. Solve a bunch of stuff, and linking it to what you were saying about Dagon, you know, this has the opposite problem in that it's got loads of atmosphere. It's truly creepy, and it harkens back. He's done a great job making like the interface and the cutscenes and just how it plays. It's very classic Resident Evil Silent Hill, you know, that kind of has that Twin Peaks vibe, where it's kind of, it's not bad voice acting, it's good, but it's deliberately kind of soap opera-esque voice acting and stuff. And but the problem is, you know, you play it, it's about, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours long, and it's really, you know, really creepy, and there's no monster. You know, nothing happens. Like, you get through the story. It's kind of confusing at the end. But you're constantly thinking something's going to get me, and it doesn't. And I just think a horror game where you don't even glimpse anything. Like, I completely agree. I think horror games shouldn't show the monsters. And, you know, there's a lot of times they ruin the game. Because you show the monster and you're like, oh, that's not scary. But this one, I mean, you're scared, but there's no monster. So it's just completely, it's a reverse pyramid head, you know?
I like the reverse pyramid head, basically, like, yeah. So this is not really, you know, like the Puppet Combo games. Have you played any of the Puppet Combo games?
No, I haven't heard of these.
A Puppet Combo is a I don't know, software house, studio, but they specialize in PS1 stealth horror experiences, and they've released lots of stuff, like Night of the Nun, that the names are great, or Nun Massacre. They've got this really lo-fi VHS, you know, B VHS movie from the 80s. They got all this stuff that's called Babysitter Bloodbath and Power Drill Massacre. Yeah, they're great. I mean, they're really good. They really keep, they really, and they really nail the aesthetic. And, you know, environmental storytelling, yeah, it's great. I mean, the games right now are a bit more, you know, basically the same thing over and over, but pretty good. I mean, indie games are like $5, and yeah, I like the idea, I like the style.
Okay, I thought we could take a moment then to round this out by explaining a little bit of what In the Deep End actually is. You know, it's called In the Deep End, but our listeners have no idea what the Deep End is. In the Deep End is a metaphorical swimming pool, except instead of water, it's filled with all the carcasses of the video game backlog we all have.
Yeah. That's nasty.
And we're drowning in it, you see. Which is
constantly.
Constantly. And every week when we have a guest, they will be joining us in the deep end in this metaphorical pool, and as will you.
As long as no one pisses in it, I mean, we should be fine.
Yellow pool.
Yeah, that's what usually happens. And yeah, I mean, the whole idea behind In the Deep End, which I always call Into Deep, because, I mean, I like Into Deep, so maybe we should make two different names, like, you know, the Italian names and the English name. But yeah, the whole idea was, of course, that we, as journalists, we get to play a lot of games, but we rarely have the time to check out everything that we would like. And sometimes we barely have the time to check out the things that we have to check out. So yeah, I mean, we got all kinds of problems with our backlog. So yeah, I mean, the idea was, yes, we're always drowning in games. There's no time to react. And someone removed the ladder, I'm pretty sure. Oh wait, this is the Sims.
That's the Sims reference. Wow.
Oh,
it's come full circle, like Returnal.
We're back to the start. Oh no.
No, but as we said, each episode we will have a pre-show, which will be this section that we've just done. And in the pre-show, we'll be talking about what we've played. We'll be reviewing games. You know, if we've reviewed them and we want to kind of let you know whether you should play them or not. We'll be talking about any kind of news when E3 rolls around and any events like that. And then we'll roll into our guest, and it will be a sort of hour or two of interview
or,
stuff.
Or roll over our guest, yeah. We'll see.
Exactly. We'll roll over them as we're grasping to get out of the pool.
Yeah. We'll have all kinds of guests here, developers and people connected with the gaming, streamers and composers and writers and journalists and, I don't know, random people off the streets and, yeah, homeless people and drunkards and, I don't know, who else?
Anyone.
Anyone can join us in the pool as long as they got the swimsuit on, because, yeah, no naked people here. But, yeah, I mean, the floor is open. We accept everyone as long as they accept us, please. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough.